Hey guys, we're back for another episode of Drink Till We're Married. Geek Goddess is here.
Hey, Cutie is here.
And tonight we have a very special guest for you guys. But first things first, what are we drinking on? Spill the tea. What are we drinking on?
So we're drinking on good old cold H2O.
That would be 2 parts hydrogen, 1 part oxygen.
Yeah. Chilled. In a nice plastic cup. Yeah.
On ice. Mine is on ice. Well, it's actually melted now. So.
Mine too.
Yeah. The boo and I started P90X on Monday. I'm not sure why he chose P90X, but I pledged that I would do it with him. And because of that, I am off alcohol, dairy, and sugar.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to smack somebody immediately.
I cannot. Yeah, I remember the last thing you went through.
The cabbage soup diet?
Yeah. Like, it was not nice for anyone in like a 30-mile radius.
But I lost like 10 pounds though.
That's awesome.
And I gained it all back, but I was cute for like a full 7 days. I was so fine.
You're so crazy. Like,
oh my God, I tried on all my old clothes that I couldn't fit, and I was like, I never got a chance to go anywhere because I gained it all back, but I was so fine for like a week.
So I'm not drinking because I just started this 10-day green smoothie cleanse. And so of course, no alcohol. Again, no dairy, no refined sugar, just straight up green smoothies, nuts, raw, unsalted.
Yeah, like, that sounds so disgusting.
No, but the smoothies are good though.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, like, you have your spinach and stuff, but then you put fruit. Like, today I had mango, grapes, apple, and strawberries in the smoothie. I'm all excited. Shut up.
Yeah, you sound super excited about it, and I'm very happy for you.
I know.
I am.
Well, I think you should introduce our guest, because she's actually drinking, holding it down for the team this week.
And we're so proud. We're so proud that our guest has taken the initiative to fix her drink. So tonight, we are interviewing the writer and producer of the wildly popular web series, Tough Love. So, Ronnie Simpson, welcome to Drink Till We're Married.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm mad I'm the only one drinking, but, you know, I'm holding it down for you guys. Drinking at what, 6:30 p.m.?
Yes.
That's about our normal, though.
I know. So what are you drinking on tonight?
This is actually a Jamaican beer. It belongs to Caleb. I don't usually drink beer, but I was sticking to the theme, you know, of the show.
So awesome. We have definitely appreciate it.
Are you guys from the islands?
We aren't. We aren't.
Okay.
I went to Jamaica last summer. And then we went to Trinidad earlier last year, so we love it there, but we're not from there.
Okay.
Well, so if any of our listeners haven't seen the show, Tough Love is a really awesome series that comes on YouTube. Season one just wrapped, I guess, about a month ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, actually, 2 months ago now, January 19th.
But it wasn't out until February, right?
Oh, right. It wrapped for us. It wrapped.
You made us patiently wait. I think it was like around Valentine's Day that we got episode 5.
Yeah, so anybody that donated to the GoFundMe got it earlier. And then if you didn't donate, then you got it on Valentine's Day. So it was like an additional month wait.
Wow. Wait for it. Like,
you're right.
So tell us about how the idea came about to create the show.
Well, originally it came from, I had an Instagram account I started called Black Love Exists. And Black Love Exists, I just started it to highlight different African-American heterosexual couples. And I started getting lots of followers. Now I'm up to like 23,000 followers. But I told Caleb that because he's a filmmaker, and I write, but I don't particularly write series. But I told him that because this web series thing has been growing really popular, and I felt there was a need for more African-American love stories, I said once that Instagram account got to 10,000 followers, then we were going to start shooting a web series, and that's exactly what we did.
Oh, that's awesome. So, inquiring minds want to know, what's the relationship status? Are you and Caleb together? Are you guys married? Are you dating? Are you besties? Are you friends with benefits, and the benefit being making a really awesome web series?
We're all of that except married.
I love it. So I know you both met in college. So did it start then?
Yeah, so that's when it started. We actually, we're both from Los Angeles, and we went to the University of California, Riverside, and we met my freshman year. He's 1 year older than me, so he's a sophomore. I mean, he was a sophomore at the time, and we started dating, and we dated, and we dated, and we dated, but weren't official.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a little bit of Monica and Darius.
Right.
Yeah, just a little bit. So, then we made it official finally. And we've been together ever since. So, officially, we've been together 6 years now.
Okay. I like it. So, what's next on the horizon for you guys as far as relationships are concerned? Because I know you're about to make some awesome, like, movies, television series. I already can just steal that from you guys.
Yeah. Well, as far as relationships are concerned, marriage is on the horizon. I don't know when. That's up to him.
I think we're going to have to get him on the show by himself so we can get the details.
Look, if you're
right. I'm not letting him handle that, okay?
Exactly.
I'll put the squeeze on him. I'm not above a little ultimatum, a little like, look, we will steal her away from you. We will do that. Right. Okay.
Oh my God.
No, but our primary focus has really been like getting our careers going. We both, you know, have been pursuing careers in the entertainment and media field, which is a tough, tough field. And getting our finances together. And we were very young. And I always said I wanted to get married closer to 30. Because I was like, I don't want to be married in my 20s. You know, I want to live it up. We still party all the time. We still turn up.
But yes. In a relationship, whether you're married or
not,
to just stop.
In a marriage. Yeah, but see, it's something different to me about, like, I'm his wife. I can't be dancing on top of the table. No, I'm kidding.
You are a girl after my own heart. You have to come to a place in yourself where, you know what? I'm gonna put these tabletops down.
Really?
I have not stood on a tabletop since I've been engaged.
Only because you ain't been out either.
It doesn't matter. But it's also because I'm getting old and nobody wants to be the old lady in the club, like two turn. Yeah, like you can be there, but you can't be two turn.
Please don't be two turn.
So you guys have been together for 6 years officially and working together on this series. That's so interesting to me. How do you balance your relationship versus working together as like partners? Like how do you do that and not want to like take work stuff into the home and like chop his head off because he didn't, you know, implement your idea or whatever? Like, how do you handle that?
It comes together. It definitely comes together. It's not like once we're all set and we're just into lovey-dovey mode, this stuff is still coming up. We're still talking about it. But we've been working together on a lot of different projects for a long time now. Even when we were in college going through the whole back and forth unofficial thing, we created the first news station on our campus. We shot films when I was studying in Italy and he was studying in London at the time. We both, he traveled to Italy and we shot a film there and I would write different, scripts and stuff for him. And so we've been working together, so we're kind of learning how to refrain from stepping on each other's toes. But it happens sometimes. We're very passionate. Both of us are extremely passionate people. So the cast may tell you that we clash a couple times. It's never a big blow up or anything on set, but we can. I get very stuck on how I want it and how I see it, and then he has a totally different vision, and it's like, well, I'm the director, and I'm like, well, I wrote it like this, right. So I know how I saw it when I wrote it. So we have to really, for the second season, we both plan to get a lot better, and that comes with just a lot more preparation, because when we created the series and we did auditions and stuff, we just dived right into everything. But now we'll have a little more time for pre-production, and we will be able to really sit down and figure out each other's vision before we get to set. So it's all about learning. We work better together as we go along, but, you know, it's still an ongoing learning process for sure.
So what do you think is the toughest part of love in relationships?
The toughest part, I would say, is having to compromise.
Yes, of course. Yes.
I would have to agree.
Yes. So it's like you have to, you don't want to change yourself. You don't want to change like who you are at the core, but you do have to recognize when you do need to make a change. And, you know, a lot of times we get so stuck in our ways. And this other, being around this other person or with this other person, they can see things about you that you don't see. And that even when you're in an argument, you're like, they have a point, but I'm going to stick to what I'm saying right now. I'll think about that point later.
You have to. Don't ever give up your point. Fight it to the end, even when you realize you're losing. If you just fight adamantly, adamantly, eventually he'll get tired. And it's just like, you know you're not right, but it's like, whatever.
Exactly.
To go to bed with Sophie.
Have you ever tried to start on my point?
You know, sometimes I will flip it around, but that's normally when I'm so caught up in my words and I forget what I was arguing about in the first place. And then it's like, where was I?
Back. Wait, I got off track. Hold on.
Or I bring in an example that's like, man, that's not really relevant. But I got to keep pushing that example, though.
Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, I sound crazy right now, but I'm going.
Yes. So what do you do for a living? So is the web series your full-time job, or are you?
No, me, I do research. I work for a research firm, and we do research for different advertising companies.
Okay.
Very boring corporate job that I'm trying to get out of. But I'm also, like, we grind hard in New York doing all kinds of stuff. So I also run a walking movie tour in the city. So I created this company about a year ago. I just have one tour guide now. And it's just a 90-minute tour pointing out different locations where movies were filmed. And so now I'm trying to grow that as well.
So what part of the city is your tour?
Manhattan.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So we live in Manhattan, and the tour is right around the corner from us.
Well,
so right,
I'm from New York, so I've been here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. We're on 58th and 6th.
Okay. Oh, that's a nice area. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's so interesting that you have all these different odd jobs. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that you wrote the character Alicia. Is that after your own heart? Especially when you talk about compromise. I think you've written her so well that she has this this ability to kind of be situationally submissive, right?
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the coin, she knows when it's time to take charge,
right,
and when it's time to, you know, do what needs to be done for the relationship, but still allow Quincy to kind of have this space where he's the man that he needs to be. So did you write that after kind of your own, mirroring your own relationship?
Yes, it's very similar, but I wouldn't say that, like, Quincy came off a little too controlling. I wouldn't say Caleb is that controlling. He wanted to silence her, and Caleb doesn't want to silence me, but I would say that I was kind of taught growing up that you are supposed to not be as aggressive, even though my family is full of women who are aggressive, but they would say you're not supposed to be as aggressive. And you would just hear, even in just popular culture, about letting a man be a man and all of that. So I think Alicia, who was played by Ebony, that was, like you said, was done really well. She portrayed that really well. So yes, our characters are very similar. Just as me and Caleb are starting our own business, the struggles that go along with that, and then both just trying to balance, like I was talking about, how we are on set, like who needs to speak up right now. So yeah.
So do you guys have a similar kind of friend circle in New York?
We don't. We have a lot of friends, but it's never... People in New York do not have time to get together for just game nights every other week, no. You know?
Yeah, not at all. Not even here, honestly.
Yeah, people in Charlotte don't get together for game. But, we could, though.
But I think our generation is so on the grind. Like, yes, we have our day job, but then we also have this side hustle and that one that, you know, it takes away from being able to connect with the people all the time.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I do think in the South we take that live-work balance a little more seriously than up north. Up north is like work, well, and I'll balance it when I get these checks.
What it is, I think when you're in New York, that's just the environment. Like, you are always, even if, I mean, I could be going to the corner store to pick up some candy and I feel like I have to be on the go. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to be at your destination, like, not yesterday, like, now. Like, you know.
Right. It's the idea is just, I don't have time. I just don't have time for this. So we go out, you know, but it's not like, I wouldn't say it's a core group that we're just always with. We did have our friends when we first moved from Los Angeles. We had a few other friends that was here from Los Angeles, but everyone slowly starts to fall off and go back.
So you were in LA. You don't think you could have kind of built your career out there instead of moving to New York?
You know, it's interesting. Everyone says that. Why wouldn't you just stay in LA? But we were from the outskirts of LA. So it would have been very similar to trying to break into New York, breaking into Hollywood. But it was actually a little more difficult. I think it's because people are, I guess, more disconnected. And I would say in New York, everyone's a lot more driven. But as soon as we moved here, Caleb, he works in production. And so that's why he couldn't make it today. He was shooting an advertisement he's doing some ad with Tracy Ellis Ross and Lupita Nyong'o. Yeah. So
fly on the wall.
No, that's what I said. Once we got to the city, he was able to get on a production set for the Celebrity Apprentice with our wannabe president.
Nameless then, on this show.
Right.
Right.
You get no airtime here, sir.
And from then, he met someone on that set. And when I say that, he's just been going from set to set, just all no applications, no, it's just all connections. And I feel like New York is just a lot better for that.
It is. I'm serious. I came down here and I'm like, when I moved in like May. I didn't start working until November.
Yeah, I don't know why you ever moved down here.
Well, it was just it gets to be a lot, you know, when you want different things, But I just couldn't believe it took that long to find a job. Because like you said, in New York, I mean.
Oh, it's what? Work. It's money. It's always, it's just hustle.
Yeah.
But for us, it's not forever. Like, we want to make the connections, build connections, and then head back to LA.
Right.
Yep. Because like you said, it's overwhelming at times.
a break, it's hard to just have a break. Well, here you can get in your car, drive, you know.
Right.
I got rid of my car in New York. I was like, I don't need my car when I got back. No, you don't need
it. It's so slow here, though. From a relationship front, Charlotte's super slow. No, it just is.
For relationships, honestly, I think that's everywhere. I don't think it's just here. I have friends still in New York. I have friends in Atlanta who are single and have the same issues we have right here in Charlotte.
You know, I find that in New York, people date a lot, though. A lot of my friends go on a lot of dates. They don't, like you said, they're not really in relationships. But in L.A., it's even hard to get a date.
Gosh, yes, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, though, it's pretty bad in the African-American community everywhere, which is why I started Black Love Exists, because I wanted to show that it does exist. It is out there.
Which we love. I was looking at your IG, and I absolutely love it. So I have two questions. One, I saw that you posted a picture of Russell and Sierra. Everybody knows they're like my favorite it couple right now.
They are.
Thank you.
Are you a Russell and Sierra fan?
I am a Russell and Sierra. I was like, I'm so mad at anybody bashing Sierra right now. So
it's crazy.
And the That's Rock, insane.
The Rock was like.
The Rock. And for them to say, oh, it must be fake. I'm like, no, she woke up. She woke up. Future is somewhere not in autism syrup. And she's on the beach with her fiance.
Thank you. I was like, I mean, but I must say, Sierra fans definitely clap back up in Future's comments, because when he released Purple Rain, I guess they were in Sierra's comments with the umbrellas and all that.
Yeah,
oh, ridiculous. They were on. I saw pictures of his comment sections with those rings.
With
it
the rings?
So funny. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that was the best comeback ever for her.
She's like, upgrade. Oh, I'm like.
Ultimate upgrade.
Yes, supersized it. I supersized my upgrade.
I'm believing in Jesus for like a summertime wedding for them.
Oh,
waiting, I'm stocking everything. I'm following, like, I follow all the major, like, wedding planners.
To see who's going.
So I need to know. Like, I believe in Jesus. It's going to happen before the season starts.
That's funny.
But so let me ask you this. What is like your first memory of like Black Love, and what couple was that? And do you have any like iconic Black couples that you kind of look up to or just enjoy seeing their love?
Yeah. First memory of Black Love. Well, see, the thing that made me so obsessed with Black Love is because I didn't see it around me, as far as my mom is still single. I'm just in a family full of women, basically, a lot of single women. And so I had that desire for Black Love. But when you say Black Love, the first thing I think of is Love Jones.
Oh, my gosh. That is like one of, if not my favorite movie.
Yes, that movie. Was everything.
Is that your favorite love film?
That is. I think that's my favorite love story, yes. I love that. One of them, and then Love and Basketball.
I need part two for Love Jones, though.
Like, yes, people, and it's so funny because it took a while for it to catch on. Now it's like a cult classic. Like, everyone loves
but
it.
I don't know how. I'm like, I've always loved that from the first
time
I saw
it. I didn't watch it until I met the boo. It's his favorite movie. I hadn't seen it.
Really?
Blasphemy.
No, he's up on game.
I hadn't seen it. I mean, it's not that I didn't know about it. I'm aware of it. I just had never. It's like Scarface. I've never sat down to watch Scarface. Like, why? Like, but you know.
I'm with you on that one. I just saw that last year for the first time.
See? Sometimes.
But no, we're talking Love Jones.
Okay.
Well, like, no.
Right. Love Jones is a little different.
I know,
Scarface.
Like every Black teenager. How old was I? I was like in high school, I think, when it came out. I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
it wasn't on my radar. My favorite love movie is Love Actually, which like nobody has like ever
seen. I've heard of it. I don't, and I think I've seen it. But again, I think when it came out, I was quite young. So we're gonna have to have a good old weekend of Black love movies.
I'm sure I've seen everything else. I'm
really?
Sure. Yeah, okay. And then, you know, I love a good like Black film on like
straight
Netflix.
To Netflix. Yes. We watch
yes.
all of those.
So I've seen all of those. What's your favorite like breakup scene from those movies? Because I love the breakup scene.
From Love Jones, I love the running around here. What did he say? Like you lost your effing bike?
Yes, you out here stomping. Yes, when she left the party. But I mean, I have to say, why would she go anywhere with him? Never.
Every time I watch it, I still do not understand. She went like she thought it was okay. I don't get it.
But you gotta get mad. Why are you mad? Like,
exactly. What did you think would happen?
If Darius wasn't there, one of the other crew, you know, somebody was gonna be there, but sorry.
Yeah. And then in Love and Basketball, something that I always debate with people. You guys tell me this. What do you think? Do you think that Sanae's character, Monica, should have stayed with him past her curfew? You remember in Love and Basketball?
Yes. Yes. I would have. She's a star player on the team. She would have. Someone would have snuck her in. It's college. Yes.
I think if I were in college, I would have done the exact same thing. Yeah.
You would have. Would you have stayed with him, or would you have gone back to your dorm?
Oh no, no, I would have. I would have went to my dorm if I was in college. So being in school on a scholarship, even though she didn't necessarily need a scholarship, because being with her, you know, her parents clearly had money or whatever, and father was a banker. But yeah, no, I would have done the same thing. I would have went.
I think the difference
I gotta go.
I think the difference would be if he. I don't feel like he would have done the same for her. If I would have felt the man would have done the same for me, I would have stayed. But in his, he was very arrogant, very entitled. Yeah. So I definitely respect her decision not to stay. But if he had a different personality, maybe, you know what I mean? Like maybe I would have stayed.
But it's indicative of women being a little more mature than men.
My whole thing is, why couldn't he go back to her room with her then?
Because men aren't mature, okay? And if they're mature at that age,
come back with me.
Right. Yeah. Come to my back. Yeah.
They don't have that deductive reasoning as early as we do.
But also, you got to look at his parents. Like, his mother was just basically doing, you know, the father ran the household, and that's how he was raised. It's kind of like... follow behind me type of thing.
That scene where like his mom and dad are arguing and he's like, I make just enough money to keep you in glitter and gold. Like, I love that. It's like, can somebody keep me in glitter and gold?
Yeah.
Like, how does it feel to be kept in glitter and gold? Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
So do you ever think that, because I know I love a good love story as well. I'm a little romantical in that way.
Super.
But think watching these movies kind of distorts your thinking and expectations in your own relationships?
Absolutely. Well, I wouldn't say movies, because I feel like movies always show the struggle side. So it doesn't make everything look peachy. Like, it's not fairy tale movies, even though they always end up getting back together in the end.
That's what I mean. Like, almost like the fairy tale ending is going to happen.
Yeah. I think not mine per se, because like I said, I came from a very hardcore men or dogs type of household. But I do know that a lot of the people I know that going into college, they thought they were going to find their dream man. They thought like the fairy tale happened. And I think that's, like you said, from movies. I think that's from just popular culture. I think, and that's why in my writing, I was trying to show the tougher side. And people were kind of upset about some things that I wrote.
You know, and talking about the fairy tale ending, I kind of think, so how you wrote the character Jackson. Jackson is the playboy, you know, you have the good job, you have the degrees. Every woman between the ages of like 22 and 35 has met a Jackson. I just think you've met one. You probably haven't dated him, but you've at least met one who, because he has the pedigree and the looks and the, you know, whatever, he feels like he can run through women, right?
You may have gone on a date with him. You may not have dated him long term.
But you have encountered one Jackson. And, you know, slight side note, but when I first moved to Charlotte, like the big thing here, because banking is such a huge industry, dudes would throw around this AVP title like nobody's business.
And come to find out, it's like a dime a dozen.
I mean, okay. Are you an AVP?
No, but are you an
SVP? Of the call center?
Okay. Right. I mean,
no, that's exciting. No, I don't.
So messy.
Either that or like put their keys on the bar so you can see what kind of car they drive. You know, the foolery. Anyway, so I kind of feel like Jackson's ending was a little fairy tale for me because those guys exist, but it never goes down like that. They never reap what they sow. Yeah. They never actually have to live through the karma. Normally, they grow up a little bit. They decide they want to get married. Some chick falls for it. Yeah. And they end up actually still being the same dude in their marriage.
Yeah.
But women are left, you know, you have all these women left in the wake of the disaster that was Jackson.
You make a good point. You make a very good point. Because it does upset me that a lot of guys, they go through life and it's player, player, and then they get their fairy tale ended. They get the marriage.
Right. Yeah.
And we're less scarred and upset because he ended up marrying one of these random women and now they have the white picket fence and the babies and the,
dog. But the funny thing, I find it funny that you found Jackson's ending with a fairy tale for you.
But it was true.
You know, there's this ongoing debate and I was like reading all the YouTube comments and half of it's like split. There's 50% of women are like, yeah, that's what he gets, and the other 50% are like, I really feel bad for Jackson. He's an asshole, but he didn't deserve to lose his job. There's an argument going on.
So I'm interested in seeing what happens. So yes, he got fired from his job, but we see his manager or the owner of the company do anything with his wife because you know what I mean? It's almost like you fire this guy without even hearing his side of the story. But you know what I mean?
So. I mean, you don't really need to hear his side of the story because the owner said that they have cameras. So,
but again,
I don't need to hear what you're saying if I'm looking at you laying up in my wife.
But if you have cameras, then you see your wife coming to me and me trying to, no.
But did she put a gun to your head?
No, but you also see when he first found out and where he was like, that whole exchange was like, that's my, you know, it didn't look like, oh yeah, I'm with it.
Are in this man's house.
But he didn't know it until he saw his picture.
He didn't know whose house it was, but he knew she was married.
You're right.
So if you're a grown man in another grown man's house,
don't come.
You kind of deserve whatever comes at you.
But she's so bold with it too, because you know she has to know he has cameras everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, clearly she's care. I don't know. Like I can't understand crazy.
Sorry, as you debate.
But no, like me and the boo were like yelling at the TV, like, Why would he be at her house? And
that's crazy.
Dude, you're crazy. Right. That's like rule number one.
Right, because let's talk real world. You dating this man's wife, you roll up in his house. Down here in the South, they carry guns. So you're in this man's house and I have a right to kill you because you're in my home.
True.
Like, that's how cocky Jackson is. Jackson doesn't care.
And that's what,
he thinks he runs the world.
To his character. It absolutely speaks to him like, I'm invincible. And if this is what I want to do, this is what I'm going to do. And I've been able to get away with it for so long.
But I love when she kind of put it in his face, like flipped it on him and was like, yeah. And I know your type. You've done this before. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you mad. Why you mad? Don't get mad when I pull a U on you. How about that?
So true. So the next couple, Darius and Monica. I'm believing in Jesus that Darius and Monica are going to get back together. I am. I'm rooting for Darius and Monica.
I want the fairy tale. No, I want Monica to smarten up and move on. Yes, remain friends. Because you know me, he's in the friend circle. And so you don't date in your... Well, he wasn't even in their circle. She brought him into their circle. So you see, when you break up, he's still going to be lingering around. So you don't date your friend. That's why I keep my man outside the circle. You come to events where it's all of us there. You know, couples. But other than that, no.
Yeah. You know, I would be curious to know, and not that I'm trying to get a spoiler alert or anything, but I would be curious
to
know.
Unless you're going
to
give us one.
Right? Because we'll take it. If we get to see some background into Darius and why he can't seem to commit to Monica, Because how it's played, I do think he cares for her, and I think he really wants to be in a relationship. Oh, it wasn't his fault that someone's mouth just fell upon his penis?
Oh my gosh, do you think it's not? There are a lot of people that feel like, I felt bad for Darius.
Who are these women? Like,
so this is the thing. I don't feel bad for him, but I'm like, what are the chances? See, what I thought was going to happen was he went into the bathroom and forgot his phone, and the girl was going to answer the phone.
Yeah,
that's what I thought was going to happen.
He was playing on the phone,
but I was like, dang, you really just let her? Wow. But we don't know from a man's perspective. I mean,
that's how a lot of men say they just fell weak.
Yes. I'm serious.
He didn't fight it enough.
Nobody's penis has ever just fallen in my mouth. I've never just fallen into bed with someone.
He was a lot bigger than her. He was a lot bigger than her.
Yeah. I'm not even gonna.
No, and he could have, you know.
But that's what I'm saying. I just wonder if we are gonna get a backstory to why he is the way he is.
I think he's just a street dude. Not to say all street dudes are like
that. I mean, a lot of people question that about even Jackson. Like, they want to know why he's that way. But I honestly feel, I mean, we might see more, but I honestly feel that a lot of guys are just dogs. That's my thought.
Because they can. There are more women in the world than men. They don't have to commit. We had someone show that.
I think men are dogs because for some reason they don't seem to think about consequence. They really live with this air of nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to find out.
I don't even think they care, though.
Oh, I think they care.
It depends on how much they care about the woman, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Well, even outside of the woman, so I think if you look at Jackson, he cared about his reputation. He cared about certain things. And he felt like what he was doing outside of work would never impact the things that he does care about. So to see that.
Yeah, until it was the boss.
You know, all things kind of coexist. You can't. Yes. You can't live two different lives, essentially. And I think men kind of feel like if a guy went to, I don't know, the DR with his boys, he's not thinking his girl is going to find out he was out there sleeping with prostitutes.
Listen.
But they think that foolishness. We don't think that. We always think we can get caught.
Yes.
So if we do cheat, we operate as if I could get caught. What do I have to do to make sure I don't get caught? They don't operate like that.
Yeah, that's true.
So they can just be prepared
a lot more about the person, I think. And then there's a lot of guys who are like, yeah, I've been hurt before. And you're like, what happened? It's like when I was 10 in the fifth grade.
That one time at band camp, I had really, really liked her and she didn't like me back.
I was just watching a show. Gosh, what was I watching? And that was kind of what happened. This dude got hurt. It was the Perfect Match.
Oh, you're watching.
Oh, I didn't see that.
All right, we'll talk about it later then. I wasn't a fan.
Yeah.
I was not a fan.
I really, really liked
it. I preferred to watch Tough Love.
Seriously.
I really, I just felt like it was, not that it was so predictable. I don't know if the acting took me out of it. I don't know what it was, but.
I thought the acting was good.
I was concerned about it because of how many people, like known people were in it.
Yeah.
Those are usually just the star vehicles where it's like this, they try to outshine the story.
Maybe that's what it was. I just felt like.
Oh, I didn't get that at all.
We're going to have to talk about it. I won't talk about it much because I want you to go see it without my biased opinion. But
I have support.
Yes, definitely go see it.
Yeah.
So one other question I did have for you. The friends in Tough Love, I think most of them went to Howard. So was that intentional to have the characters be products of an HBCU? Because you didn't go to an HBCU, because that's what I thought. I was thinking,
of course
the creators went to an HBCU.
We went to the University of California, Riverside, UCR, which they call it. In California, they call it the HBCU, the Black. It's like the Black UC.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of Black people. But our associate producer, which is Kayla's best friend, who helped us out the whole time. It was kind of like the only helping hand we had on set. he graduated from Howard. Okay. And then also Jordan attended Howard. Jordan plays Quincy. He attended Howard as well.
Okay.
And so, and Howard, it was just while writing, I wanted it to be an HBCU, and that's just the main one for me. But people have been calling me out to shout out some more, so I'll probably have, you know, a couple more in there next season.
Okay. I mean, we're hoping that you're not going to leave out the number one HBCU in the nation, Florida A&M University.
I've been there, actually. My friend was attending. I went to Florida A&M. It was fun.
Yes, exactly. We do have a lot of fun. We do actually graduate some people, but we have a lot of fun, too. I don't know.
Maybe Jordan will go on a date with someone from FAMU.
Ooh, I like it.
Jordan needs to get her life together.
All the way.
Because she's like the same example of you've been hurt once, so you hold one example and you're going to let that guide your whole life? My goodness, where will people be if we fail one time and then refuse to try again?
No, I was like screaming at the TV with Jordan and...
Oh, I can't remember her. Fine! Oh my gosh.
The electrician.
His phone number?
He's an electrician, right? Isn't he an electrician?
I told you
he was an electrician.
Hey, it's
honest. It's all in the details. I'm screaming at the TV because I'm like, this doesn't happen though. A nice guy like that meets a girl like Jordan, and he's like, I'm not going to run up behind her because she's going to think he's quote unquote thirsty.
Thirsty. Oh my goodness.
And I wonder if you guys got any feedback about that, about him coming off as thirsty, or. You know, how do you write a character that's determined and that has found something that he likes but doesn't come across that way?
I didn't get feedback, you know, about him being thirsty.
I didn't think he was, but I think that's
you know, a term. You know why he wasn't thirsty? He wasn't considered thirsty because I think he's so attractive.
That's the topic we need to explore, because we have that on our list of topics, like why, you know, women use that term thirsty, but it's you just not interested in him. It doesn't mean he's thirsty, you just don't like him.
Right.
You have a right to say that.
Yeah,
but yeah, he was fine. He was. And I mean,
so if he was unattractive, people would be like, why don't he just leave her alone? She don't want you.
Right, because everybody wanted her to want him. That's why he wasn't deemed thirsty.
Because no one understood why she did not want him.
Like,
why she wouldn't just give in?
Yes.
I'm going to tighten her up myself.
Thank you. And another topic was that we, I think, recently discussed was how Monica and Jordan, they're roommates, but how Jordan was so vocal about Monica's relationship, where we were saying, you can't really, I mean, it was bad. Like, they weren't even talking. How do you let her relationship come between your friendship? You just have to kind of fall back and support your friend.
That actually happened, and I had a lot of feedback from people that said they've been in those exact arguments with their friends. I've gotten into arguments. With friends. I've actually been on Jordan's side. I mean, Jordan was over the top. I mean, in every way. She took it a bit far to where, but I've been that friend to where I was just so mad. I was more mad than my friend that she was getting, you know, treated this way. More mad than she was. And so that's how Jordan loves Monica so much that it's hurting her to see her hurt.
But I'm not taking that away from Jordan, because I've been like that, but I would never let that impair my friendship, I guess. I get so mad, fuming in the background, but I'm not going to degrade her or put her down, because she has to live with her choices. You know what I mean? Like, all I can do is support her through it. So, yeah.
That's true. And she degraded her in front of everybody.
Right. And I'm glad Monica finally stepped up and said, you know, had her chance to kind of get it out on Jordan, too, because it was very one-sided. And I was like, why? You know.
So. Yes. But Jordan is the one that caught him. So she was even more effective.
Yes. But see, Dan taking a picture. Yeah, I'm going to take a picture and I'm rolling up on you. What are you doing?
Oh, I got that feedback.
And that's why she's my ride or die.
Yes.
I don't have to even worry about it. What? You saw the
blue
where?
Please. So, Marissa, we have a married girlfriend, and I went out a couple weeks ago for one of our other friends' birthday. She was turning 30 here in Charlotte. So we went out on that Friday night. Mm-hmm. I saw my friend's husband and there were women. I'm like, who's this? Like, rolls up, like, who's that? Yo, turned out to be the wife's friends, but they sure went back to her like, yo, you don't have to worry about him doing anything out here because, hey, cutie is on it.
Get it right, boo.
But, you know, take the anger out where it should be placed is my whole
thing. Right. I agree with that.
So when can we expect season 2? We're anxiously waiting.
So we're still promoting the GoFundMe. Okay. We are trying to at least get to half of our goal before we green light season 2. But if there is a season 2, it will be coming out around the same time as season 1 did, which the first episode came at the beginning of November. Okay. So if it happens, that's our goal date.
Okay, so tell us what your goal amount is, and we will, of course, put your GoFundMe up in the links in the descriptions of the podcast, but please feel free to say it again.
Just for the Okay, listeners. Awesome. Thank you, guys. So our goal for season 2 is $20,000. So far, we've reached over $7,000, and there's one more month from today, actually, left to raise money. And we're trying to at least meet half of our goal. And so it's GoFundMe.com/Tough Love Series.
Okay, perfect. I mean, listeners, come on. We spent a lot of money on some random stuff.
Yes.
I'm always the first to say that we spent a lot of money on some random stuff. So it would be really awesome to support a web series that one has positive displays of love, yes. Black love. Yes. But two, it's written by Black people for Black people. Mm-hmm. Some amazing actors.
Yes.
Amazing. Like, I heard the process of how you guys selected the actors, and to know this was like some of their like first time actually doing a professional acting gig. It was like, what?
Yeah.
Let me really find good. Out I might have a future career in acting. No.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, very.
You think I got a Facebook podcast?
No.
You know, once auditions come around, we'll be posting it all on social media. It's open auditions, so come on up to New York.
Come bring the drama.
Nah, I'm good.
Bring the drama. But no, seriously, I always say, I think a hashtag that I use is support your friends like you support those celebrities you don't know. We need to support our own. I mean, it's. You know, we all have a hustle going. You know, something that we are trying to be behind and supporting each other is how we all get to the top. So I'm big on that, too. So, yeah.
And so, and first season was just so guerrilla style. I mean, Caleb put up some money for it. I didn't. But it was difficult. We didn't have much. And we were... the cast had to eat DiGiorno. We call it a DiGiorno budget because the cast had to eat DiGiorno pizza for lunch. We didn't have, like, snacks and stuff. And, like, most of this...
No craft services? What kind of production is this?
That's why she can't be on your show.
I'm talking about, like, my full rider, like I'm Beyonce.
We did... Most of the scenes you guys saw were shot in the same room, which is our studio apartment in New York. Or we had friends that'll let us use their space, or we rent out these rooms for like an hour and just have to shoot really quick and run out. So it was really like on a shoestring DiGiorno budget. So we're trying to make it bigger and better this time.
We definitely enjoy it. Yes. I mean, guerrilla style and all. I mean, watching some of the other web series, like, did you ever watch Money and Violence?
No.
So, if you ever get a chance, I mean, it's a lot for me personally.
For me, well,
yeah. But from a production quality, their first like season, if you will, that's gorilla. So now they've got like some backing and some funding or whatever, and you can kind of tell the production is better.
Right.
Their acting is still not as good as Tough Love, but that's just a personal thing. But
shout out to Money and Violence.
They're doing it.
They're going, yeah.
They're doing, they got like a clothing sponsorship from TI. I think they got funding from Tidal. Did they get funding?
Oh, they're on Tidal.
Oh, okay. Streaming on Tidal. Look at that. Get those streams going.
But, I mean, so where would you like, to see Tough Love on television? What, like, what's your next step with it besides web series?
We'd love to see it on television. We do have the desire to have it like on the Netflix, just because the web reaches so many people.
Yeah.
And we had so many people that were like, oh, I'm in Indonesia watching this. I'm in Nicaragua watching this. So it reached people all over, which was really exciting. So we'd love to have it on the web. And, you know, people have been like putting buzz in our ears to start our own network. So that may be a possibility to create more content.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would love that.
Definitely.
If you guys could, like, can I get, like, a full, like, if you could partner with Mara Brock Akil and Issa Rae, and then can we get, like, a whole, like, network? And I would just sit and watch it. Like, could I get, like, a black Netflix, right?
Yes.
All black. I don't have to, like, sift through these movies I don't want to watch. All black everything. I would never leave the house. Anyway, that's just my dreams and goals for your life.
I know, but again, it's awesome. And we thank you for coming and talking with us.
Had me on.
Absolutely.
I definitely checked out some of your podcasts. So I was excited to talk to you guys.
Oh, cool.
I love that, you know, the open, just open banner, talk about anything. I love those kind of podcasts, so. We will continue to support you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. And it was such a pleasure to have you. And again, please support Tough Love on GoFundMe. So GoFundMe.com/Tough Love Series. The links will be in the description of the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. If you guys have questions that you would like for us to forward on to Ronnie, please let us know. You can send your questions to drinktoremarried@gmail.com, or you can post them on ask.fm/drinktoweremarried. And we'll see if we can send them to Ronnie and she'll answer them. Or you can also leave comments under the description of the YouTube videos, because you're like, you guys do a great job of, like, responding to the comments and answering questions. So it's all about the community. Guys, keep the community going. Reach out to Ronnie and Caleb. And we're so sorry Caleb couldn't be here today.
I know. He was sad he couldn't be here.
We love the girl chat.
I know. I was going to say, we love the girl chat. Maybe we'll get them on another time.
It's kind of hard to mail bash in front of the mail.
I know.
Right.
Kind of difficult. So tell them he was pissed.
They get her. They get in their feelings.
They do.
So that wraps up another episode of Drink to Remarried. Again, guys, check us out on our website at drinktoremarried.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our Twitter handle
is
DTWM_podcast.
Yes. So again, thanks for listening, and cheers.
Night.